Through my W-2 career, I was not a giver, not at all. I didn't understand the concept, I didn't understand the benefits, I didn't have that giving mindset. I made it a conscious decision that I'm going to not be selfish anymore. 10% net income got donated. As I got into real estate, I started to carry that forward. Every dollar that I take in, I allocate 10% of it to donations. Opened a savings account that I literally call charity. I have a credit card that I only use for charitable giving. If I see an opportunity to give, whether that's monetary or some other way, then I do it. That's simple stuff, holding a door open, big tips at restaurants. Anything that I see I can do, I do. The more you give, you get it back tenfold.
Hey, listen up. Are you ready to take your life and business to unimaginable new levels? Not just new levels, but unimaginable new levels. GoBundance is a community for active entrepreneurial men and women who desire to live epic lives. With the GoBundance membership, you'll gain access to high-level trainings, collaborate with high-level millionaire entrepreneurs, get accountability through our GoPods. My GoPod and I have been together for 4+ years. They're amazing. And experience epic adventures around the world. Plus, you get access to Go Wives, Go Couples, access to Fambundance, to continual high volume deal flow. Join this tribe. Trust me on this. There's a reason I pay my tuition every year. And succeed like you never have before. If you want the results you hear from members who are on this podcast, or even my own results, GoBundance is the pathway. It's as simple as applying and letting me or one of our ambassadors talk to you about what membership looks like at any level. GoBundance.com, apply, and we'll make sure we put you in the right community for you. Join us today. Back to the show. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the show. Today's guest, Derek Tellier, is a GoBundance member. Multiple years now, man. It's funny. I remember you coming up through Emerge and doing all that, but you've been GoBundance for a while now. GoBundance member, realtor, investor, just an all-around great guy. He is a true, I don't know, a giving soul, and we're going to dive into that a little bit today. So, Derek, brother, welcome.
Thank you, Jamie. I appreciate it, man. I love that every time I listen to these, your energy is so high. It's like almost like people are walking into the interview before you've even like started it. You just start talking and it feels like it's so natural.
It's Red Bull.
It's Red Bull.
Red Bull. Maybe a Monster from time to time. Yeah. No, just kidding. Nice. Actually, it's funny. I just started with coffee, although I don't love it. And I've kind of gone, I was like, okay, I'm in. And then I'm kind of like waning from it a little bit. Right now, I'm doing the carnivore diet. So I'm 5 days in on the carnivore diet. So I think like 2-3 weeks in, like you're supposed to get like a burst, like energy spikes and you're just rolling. But I'm in that mode of like, oof, the energy actually wanes a little bit because I'm not eating any carbohydrates. I'm only a few days into it. So my body's still processing it. But
anyway, yeah, I don't know if I could do it. I mix it up. I intermittent fast and I try different things, but I try to just eat healthy, which is a very broad spectrum, but I try to just eat consistently and healthy.
That's always been my issue though. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to eat, you know, good whole foods or whatever. But for some reason it's like my brain doesn't allow me to focus that. So it's like, if I focus on literally like one thing, it's easier for me than if I'm focused on too much. So we'll see. I'll let you know in 3 days, I might be like, screw this. I'm having cake. But for right now it works.
I started doing prepared meals. I use one of these companies that sends you the meals already all set up. Yeah. And that has been life-saving for me because it's made my life so much easier. I get variety, I get to mix it up, and I'm getting a decent actual meal when I sit down to eat a meal.
That's good to know. That's a good point. All right, let's dive in. Let's start with backstory. So I mentioned realtor, a couple keywords here, but give us the goods. Give us a, you know, 5-minute bio on Derek Tellier.
5 minutes, man. You know me better than that. Anyway, 20-year career working at Harley-Davidson dealerships, ran service departments, started out as a technician, ran service departments for Harley-Davidson dealerships. A buddy of mine introduced me to Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Bigger Pockets, and I was like, what is this real estate thing? And turns out my parents were real estate investors, kind of. They had a five-family house that I grew up in, late 70s through the early 80s. But we moved to the suburbs when I was a teenager. So it kind of like, I didn't really pay attention to it. So anyway, he introduces me to Bigger Pockets. I start deciding that I'm changing my life. I wasn't happy with who I was physically. I wasn't happy with my career. I loved Harley Davidson. I loved motorcycles, but I was just running somebody else's business at this point. It was work till I'm 70. What am I going to do? So I dove into real estate and I went all in. My personality is I'm all in or I'm all out. So I abandoned all my other hobbies. Music, sports. I just kind of put everything else in the back burner. I started diving into real estate, got my real estate license in 2018. That was advice of a few people. I was going through a divorce, which is part of my journey, I decided that, you know, this was a piece that needed to happen. So I went through that. So I couldn't like start buying real estate. So I got my license, started selling real estate, and then dove in, bought a long-term rental, did a BRRRR. A buddy of mine, same buddy that introduced me all this stuff, was into short-term rentals, introduced me to the world of short-term rentals. Kind of got started to learn and get excited about that. They built a team. Early 2020, I decided to join their team, a short-term shop, a short-term rental specific real estate, you know, team. Joined their team on the kind of the ground level. I was the fourth agent that joined, counting the founder, Avery. And then it just blew up. By the end of 2020, I had quit my W-2. Early 2021, I joined GoBundance. I sold a crap load of short-term rentals over the next few years, bought a crap load of short-term rentals over the next few years. And now I get to live off of my rentals. I'm still actively selling. So yeah, that's the nutshell.
I love that, man. You are Eastern Tennessee? How do you describe it? Smoky Mountains, Knoxville?
Yeah, Smoky Mountains, East Tennessee. Most people are familiar with the Smoky Mountains, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, those are the tourist towns. Sevier County, Sevierville is the area technically that I'm in. We are just barely southeast of Knoxville, but we're in the mountains. I mean, I can be in Asheville, North Carolina in 2 hours. I can be in Knoxville in 45 minutes. Nashville and Atlanta are each about 3 to 3.5 hours away.
No, that's not bad at all. So that market, what is the type of short-term rental that you have there? Are you luxury? Are you more, you know, middle brand? Like, what does it look like, your specific portfolio?
Very blue-collar. The market in general is a very blue-collar market. You know, 70% of the population in the U.S. can drive here in a day. That's what makes it such a great short-term rental market. It's a very well-established short-term rental market. It's been short-term rentals here since the 50s and 60s. You know, it's just not a new idea. They're cabins. You're in the mountains. So it's log cabins, log look wood cabins. I've got the gambit of one bedrooms up to five bedroom in mine. Luxury in the purest sense of what a lot of people think about in luxury, there's not a ton of luxury here. There are some big cabins. There are definitely some luxury, some really nice cabins. But a lot of it is just blue collar, just very middle America, you know, taking their family vacation, you know, to the mountains.
Is it saturated at this point? I know so many guys that have dove into that market, and like piggybacking the question a little bit, is it saturated? And what have you seen as we record this, you know, middle 2023 with, you know, the change in the economy and all of that good stuff? Like, so is it saturated, and what is it looking like for you, for your personal portfolio and the type of portfolio you have right now?
Well, I don't like the word saturated, because saturated would indicate that there's not enough properties to account for the people that want to come here. And I don't think that's the case. Obviously, wow. If you're doing it well, you're gonna do fine. That's, I think, the key to it. A market like this has been around a long time. You can be better than 75% of the people doing it with a little bit of effort. So if you're doing that, I don't think it's saturated from that standpoint. There's always going to be people that stand out, you know. And there's always going to be people coming here. So as long as I'm doing it well, I'm going to be above everybody else. So no saturation from that standpoint. As far as, you know, realistically, the economy's tough this year. People are not vacationing like they were. 2021, when I was at my peak of selling these things, I mean, it was easy. You could put anything on a short-term rental, on Airbnb, on Vrbo, and it was getting booked. And you just kept raising your prices, and people just kept booking them. And everybody thought they were geniuses, that short-term rentals. Like, it was so easy to do in this market. 2022 fell off a little bit, got a little bit harder. But the people who were working hard still, you know, maintained good numbers. 2023 has been a little bit more difficult. This economy definitely has people traveling less, but this is why being a blue collar vacation market, I think, is very beneficial, because it's a trickle down effect. So if the people who saved up all year took their vacations here and now they can't quite afford to take that vacation anymore, there are people in the white collar who, like, well, we don't want to go to Aspen. We don't want to go to Disney. It's a little bit too expensive. What can we do that maybe we can drive to that's a little bit easier for us as a family, and they'll come here. So even in the Great Recession, 08, 09, the Smoky Mountain National Park still had 8-9 million people coming here every year. So it is more challenging because there are more short-term rentals. There's more people doing it well. My numbers are certainly down. I have to work harder at it, but that's the point. It's going to evolve. As long as you're working hard and you're doing what you need to do, you're going to have ups and downs. I'm not worried, but it's definitely tougher than it was 2 years ago.
How many are in your portfolio personally?
12 active short-term rentals. 11 of those are here in the Smokies. I've got one more that I'm remodeling right now. That'll be my 12th in the Smokies. I bought the place back in July. It's been one of those just money pit remodels. I just keep putting more and more into it, and it keeps getting closer, but it's not done yet. And then I have a couple of long-term rentals. I have a lot in Foley, Alabama that I rent out to an RVer.
Got it. Okay. And for those listening, so we are releasing new episodes now each week for profiling members with a very specific structure. If you're an old listener, if you've been around a while, you may remember like a one sheet structure that was really long and arduous. When I took over from Pat Hyben, Hyben went deep on every little thing. And I wanted to be a little bit more broad, but still honor kind of the elements of GoBundance. So Derek, you're our first
guinea pig.
You are our first. Exactly. The guy. So we're going to dive in. So let's start with this question. There are six GoBundance pillars. I'm going to try to name them. Extreme accountability, bucket list adventure, authentic relationships, horizontal income, age-defying health, genuine contribution. In which of those six are you crushing it right now?
I'm going to take genuine contribution. That's one of my strengths, big time.
Talk about that. How is that your strength? What are you doing in that pillar that makes you feel like that's the one you're crushing?
Well, one, I'm very structured in what I give and how I give. Now, it is mostly monetary, and I know a lot of people feel that giving should be more interactive, personal. For me, it's been monetary because of the way I kind of dove into it. And I'll give it some background to say, through my W-2 career, I was not a giver, not at all. I didn't understand the concept. I didn't understand the benefits. I just didn't believe in giving my money away to a church or something else when I was trying to, in my mind, I was trying to get by, even though I was doing pretty well. I didn't have that giving mindset. As I started my self-development journey, which was around 2015, 2016, the more stories I read, the more podcasts I listened to, everything always came back to contribution. The more you give, you get it back tenfold. It just kept coming up. So I made it a conscious decision that I'm going to not be selfish anymore, and I'm going to start giving more. So I found a couple of charities that really I didn't have a deep personal connection to, but people I knew had a connection to, and I set up some recurring donations, and that was based on my W-2 income. 10% of my net income got donated to split between these two charities. I set it up automatic, just started doing it. And as I got into real estate, I started to carry that forward. So every dollar that I take in, gross dollars, real estate commissions or rental income, I allocate 10% of it to donations. And I opened a savings account that I literally call charity. I have a credit card that I only use for charitable giving. So whenever I need to use a credit card or can use a credit card, I use that card. And I always cover the fees and whatever else. And I just started putting 10% of everything. So anytime I would go to a GoBundance event, anytime any opportunity popped up, if I'm friends with you on Facebook, and you do a birthday fundraiser, I'm donating a couple $100 right out of the gate. Doesn't matter what it is. So I look at it very opportunistic. If I see an opportunity to give, whether that's monetary or some other way, then I do it. And that's simple stuff, holding a door open, big tips at restaurants, anything that I see I can do, I do. So it started to steamroll. Last year, I went on the GoBundance bucket list trip to Croatia. And while I was doing my one sheet in Croatia, I decided that I was going to try to demonstrate this. And I told all the other guys on that trip. Now, there was 29 GoBros on this trip. So it was 28 other guys. And I said, I want you guys to give more. And I said, I will donate $1,000 to the charity of your choice. And then Ray Byatt hit me up and said, challenge them to match it. So I said, okay, I'm going to donate $1,000 to the charity of your choice. And you guys need to do the same thing. So I donated like $28,000. Just from that trip. Well, word got out about that I was doing that. Fast forward to a couple months later, and the Giving Council, the GoBundance Giving Council, was getting started. Tim Rode wanted to bring back the Giving Council. He felt like giving and contribution had become the pillar that fewer people were focusing on, and he wanted to bring highlights to it. So I was asked, because of what happened in Croatia, to be on the council. And I said, yes, I'd love to. I'd love to help show other GoBundance guys, you know, why to give, how to give. I want to help, you know, bring this up. About a month later, we had the change over in leadership with Matt King taking over. They were looking at the council. Tim didn't want to be really super actively involved. He wanted it to happen, but he didn't want it to be actively involved. Somebody else was kind of teed up to lead it. and there was going to be a shift and a change. And they're like, we want somebody else to lead it. And they reached out to me and asked me if I would lead the Giving Council. And I was just like, wow, did not see that coming at all, but I couldn't say no. So that led to me, you know, actually taking over the council. So I'm head of that council. We were at Tahoe. We were on stage trying to help show the guys that we're here to help you. Our goal is to bring contribution to awareness of contribution to GoBundance, why it's an important pillar, why it's there, why it's one of those six pillars, and show people, one, if they don't know how to give, you know, how they can give, what they can do to give, try to help them get past the obstacles they have in giving, and in general, give them some resources to help them see the benefits and the fulfillment that you can get out of giving.
Wow, man, that's incredible. How many are on the council?
There is officially, I think, 15 of us officially on the council. There's probably about 7 or 8 of us that are fairly active. We actually had our call yesterday. We meet every 2 weeks, and only one of the members was able actually to join me on the meeting this week. But there's several guys that are putting in input, and we're working together. So we're kind of helping to make sure we're involved in, you know, the events, what charities are coming. And again, mainly our big thing is doing the resources. I'm doing some short podcast style interviews, like 10, 15 minute interviews with guys who want to share their giving journey, with the idea to bring awareness to other GoBundance guys about how different people are giving. I've posted like 3 of those on Facebook. They're going out in the newsletters. I've got about 10 or 12 more. And if anybody who's listening, if you want to record, we'll put the link in the show notes, or I'll make sure Jamie has it. So you guys can click on and reserve some time with me and share your story, because we want to bring awareness of there's so many different ways to give. And I want the GoBundance guys to know that there's a way they could give and they will get fulfillment from it if they do so.
Is there a target of any kind for the council, like a number per year or hours per year or anything like that? Just curious.
Not right now. It's something we've talked about. Do we want to put some parameters on it? But right now we're not putting parameters on it. Right now it's just about awareness. There's so many GoBundance guys who, I mean, Matt talked about it at the event in Tahoe, where, you know, it ranked as the lowest pillar in a survey they did last year, you know, for GoBundance. What pillar do you think you need the most help with? And it also ranked as the one that guys want to do more with. So our biggest thing right now is awareness. We don't want to, I mean, accountability is great, and that little bit of peer pressure is good. But at the same token, we just want guys to start thinking about giving and giving more, or that aspect of it.
It's so true, man. What talking to guys, even doing, you know, paired interviews at events or whatever, most of the time it's, you know, the next question I'm going to ask you, which is, you know, what pillar could you use more accountability? It is that one. It is genuine contribution. Like, there's sometimes I think guys need to give themselves a little more credit. You know, mentoring somebody, just giving of your time, you know, supporting others. Like, I had you know, Dave Garbstus?
I've met him.
I had Dave on this podcast, and he talked about contribution being his worst pillar.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I asked, I think it was like a card game question. He's like, oh, well, I gave my kidney to a coworker. I'm like, dude.
I heard that. I remember that.
Yeah, that's contribution. Like, come on. Yeah. But to your point, you know, we are a group of guys who have had financial success. And I think the thing is, like, I don't know where to put my money. And like you said, it's like, you know, don't overthink it. Here's 2 charities that means something to people that I love and that I respect. I'm just going to give to that. But some people, I think, get lost in their brain a bit about, like, well, how do I know they're using it right? How do I know it's not being this? I don't want to pop up a story in a year or a month and it being a Wounded Warrior Project thing where 80% of the funds are going to the organization, only 20% are being allocated. I don't know. I think that's a big blind spot for a lot of guys in many ways. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a challenge because you don't know where the money's going. And there's a lot of charities out there that are known for that. 80%, 90% goes to, you know, their organization, and only 10% actually goes. So there's some charities out there. And that's one thing we're working on as a council, is putting together something where we can help people with that, try to understand it. But I also look at it as, for me, I recognize that sometimes, like, if I'm donating to a Facebook raise charity, I don't know where that money's going, and it might not actually help anybody. But you know who it helped? The person whose birthday it was that was asking for me to donate. That's where I see it. I'm donating $200 to the Red Cross. I'm not moving the needle at the Red Cross. But my friend in Rhode Island I went to high school with is impacted by the fact that I did that, because it meant something to them. So the donation sometimes has less to do with where the dollars are actually going as much as the impact I'm having. I may not be having a big impact on the organization or that individual, but I'm having impact on somebody who's going to be more inspired to give later. So a lot of it is just compound effect.
It's a great point, man. There's an energy to it. There's an energy around money to contributing it. So I completely agree with you. I'm just curious, and then we'll move on. What in your life do you attribute what you love about your life, successes you've had or whatever, specifically, if anything, do you attribute to this sort of pivot that you made to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to be more contributory. I'm going to be somebody who gives more, because I keep hearing it pop up on podcasts with, you know, people saying, oh, I give. It's like, all right, I'm going to do that more. And I know you, it's not like you're saying, okay, I gave, where is it? Where's the return? I know that's not what you're doing, but right. Is there anything in your life that you say, wow, you know what? It's kind of interesting that I've had these successes after I changed to this mindset of giving.
I can't put it into like one specific thing, because it was such a compound in my life of so many things changing and so much happening. My entire mindset, not just around giving, but just around anxiety, around my life in general, about who I was and who I wanted to be, that all kind of transitioned at the same time. So I think I absolutely believe that it's a piece of that. There's a quote by, I believe it's Anne Frank, that said, no one ever went poor from giving. So, or went broke from giving, or something along those lines. So it was that aspect of just that compound and the relationships I've built because I give. I don't do it because of that, but the people who have heard my story and who have reached out, and the relationships that I've developed because I've done this, there's not a dollar amount, there's not a measure I can put on that, because I know that opportunities exist because I did this, whether they're direct or indirect. It's hard to put a specific point or quantify it, but there's no doubt in my mind that it has played a huge role in my success.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt at all. All right, let's flip it. What is a pillar? Which GoBundance pillar could you use more support and or accountability?
You know, I had to think about this, because I have different ones at the peer interviews, but I think right now, realistically, if I'm going to look myself in the mirror, it's horizontal income. I do pretty well, but most of my income is still actively coming as a real estate agent, and my properties are starting to get there, and I'm putting more systems in place, and I do have people that work with me. My daughter is one of my only true full-time employee. She helps to really manage day-to-day operations of my short-term rentals. So shout out to Sarah. She's kicking ass. And I've got a VA who helps with guest communication, weekends, evenings, but I'm still very, very, very involved. And I need to and want to build systems better where I can truly step out. And right now, again, yes, the market is down a little bit. I need to get myself to a position where I want to hire somebody that can really run the operations, really dial into what the day-to-day stuff that the short-term rentals need to keep them up to par. And if I can find that person, then this income can really, truly become horizontal. I give myself credit for horizontal income on a lot of this stuff, but I'm still very, very, very active.
Yeah, it makes sense. I'd share that, to be honest with you. For me is, you know, people that listen to the podcast that know, quit my job and, you know, moved on to into various ventures or whatever.
Yeah.
But my personal portfolio, the stuff that like I owned with a partner, or my wife and I owned or whatever, we've sold all of it for various reasons. A couple of them were in New York and it's just not a good place to be. Our support system there was my parents. They're getting older. You know, we're not there. Couple multifamily, one kind of went through its cycle and sold. The other one, it was more of a partnership decline, if you will, and we sold it. So all of my stuff is now invested as limited partnerships. I have a general partnership stake in all these deals with Quantum, but that's like asset rich. You know what I mean? Like, it's not horizontal income rich. So I still trade my time, but I, you know, like even in a merge, we talk about the pillar of horizontal income, and you know, it's really more about, for me, fulfilling vertical income right now.
Yeah.
And then that is, I'm starting to kind of rebuild the path to horizontal. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. I feel where you are right now, you know?
My goal is to travel like a lot, and I want to just be out there meandering the world. And I need passive income. I need horizontal income to be able to do that effectively. Because if I'm 12 hours away, I'm not actively working. I sure as heck can't be a real estate agent, you know, from a 12-hour time difference.
Well, that's the thing though, man. So I just a little challenge on that is this, like for me, I think about it, right? So I had my job as a corporate exec. I couldn't live internationally. We weren't an international company. In fact, there were bylaws that said, hey, you cannot log in internationally. It's like grounds for termination. So to do what I'm doing now, I couldn't do then. So when I started to pivot and say, okay, I'm going to go down this path, like you build horizontal income, but get out of this day job and do something different. There was a tight on this. I had to be able to do whatever I'm going to do actively from anywhere. So as long as I have a Wi-Fi signal, I'm connected. And I heard a guy in my pod said it once. He's like, my objective is to live by my phone. I can do everything from my phone. So I don't know what it is for you, but you know, Horizontal income, yes. But if it's a matter of like there's a path vertically that can transition you from what you're doing to another stream of vertical income that gives you the freedom, I think lifestyle freedom can come before even financial freedom as you're on your path. So I don't know, just a thought.
No, I've got a few ideas. Certainly the short-term rental stuff. My original goal was to build up my short-term rental portfolio and then sell them off and put all that money into passive, truly passive investments, be an LP, and just see those small trickles come in, but have enough of them that it made sense. But as I've gotten to the point with 12 short-term rentals, soon to be 13, you know, more coming up on the horizon, I realized what if I can build a short-term rental business and I can bring that integrator in to run the business, then that can become more horizontal and more passive. And I've looked at other stuff. If I'm going to travel a lot, you know, some type of travel blogging or things of those natures you can do, you can bring it in. I've toyed with the idea of getting into coaching a little bit. I've been at many events and I've had many guys comment that, you know, I'm good with conversations and things of that nature. So I've looked at doing that. That's something I can do no matter where I am. I can work the schedule to make that work. So there's definitely been a few ideas that have come through, but nothing that I've really solidly bit onto other than the short-term rental business. I think that is the immediate plan, but I've got to get it there.
I love it. All right. Next question. Where in your life, and this isn't necessarily a pillar, but just anywhere in your life, are you potentially flirting with disaster?
Yeah, right now it comes back to that business. This remodel that I'm doing right now has sucked me dry. I kind of took the end of last year off as an agent. I didn't have any commissions coming in the first part of the year. January and February, the two absolutely slowest months in short-term rentals in my market. So I was upside down. I mean, my mortgage payments were more money than what I had in income coming in. And I have a remodel that I was spending $20,000, $30,000 a month, at least putting money into this thing. And right now I have actually played a game that I never thought I would play, but I have taken out a bunch of 0% interest credit cards that aren't due until like next year to fund finishing this remodel. I'm really close now, but I'm right there on that edge where, I mean, it is truly a flirting with disaster thing. Cause like, I don't have enough money in my bank account to cover paying my contractor this week. And most of my lines of credits are tapped out. I've got resources. I've got things I can dive into to make that happen. So I'm not crying a river here to say I'm in dire straits, but that is an area that I've really got to get tightened up. And that's why I told myself I'm not buying anything else right now. June and July are when this thing's really take off. My income will blow up in 2 months. I've got a bunch of real estate closings coming up. So I'm fine. But this short window right now, it's tight. It's got me puckered up. It's got a little bit of anxiety on me that things are tough, but I know it's going to work out. So I have to put that in as flirting with disaster right now.
Well, yeah, it's funny with you too. Like I just did a newsletter on this, like lessons, entrepreneurial lessons from living here in the Dominican. Yeah. And you mentioned the word resources. One of them was that it was like, this is not a resource rich country in terms of like, you know, they don't have what we have in the United States. I mean, in certain areas, I mean, more than of course, but just generally speaking, you don't have the social safety net. You don't have the infrastructure. You don't have the things we have. We are resource rich in the United States. But what they do have here is high levels of resourcefulness. So like right now, you probably can't hear it, but there's a pool being dug next door in the house next door to mine. Dude, this guy is doing it with a jackhammer through like granite. The ground here is the last 8 days, constant, just going. There's a field that's probably 6 to 8 acres in front of my kid's school that's all overgrown. One dude with a machete is taking it down, the whole thing. And he's doing it in like four. It's unbelievable to me. So the point is, I think what you're great at, just knowing you a little bit, is you have the resources like you talked about, but it's more your resourcefulness. Like you actually blend those two things really well.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have no doubt you'll come through, but yeah, it's the entrepreneurial asshole pucker, right? Like, you know, here you are, you're in it. You've taken a shot. And sometimes, you know, that shot puts you into sleepless nights.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But again, I know I'm going to pull out of it, but and the funny thing is for anybody who's known me for the 2 years I've been in GoBundance, relationships were always the pillar I was flirting with disaster with. And, you know, and that's shifted. That's changed. I have a girlfriend now, and it's like my life has changed dramatically in that sense. So it's like now, that was always my default. It was always my fallback. And it's like, now I get to actually think about some other areas that I need to really work on.
Yeah. Yeah. You fancy yourself an introvert, but man, oh, yeah. you push yourself to appear extroverted, at least. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's very intentional because I am introverted. I am absolutely introverted. I know people don't believe that. They see me at events, but that was very much me putting myself outside of my comfort zone to show up because I recognized that I needed to do that. Whether it was an Emerge, when I got into the events, I recognized that I needed to push myself out there. Success lies outside your comfort zone. So you had to get out of your comfort zone. And there's no doubt that my pushing myself to do that, it has opened up so many opportunities for me. So I recognize the benefit of it. But yes, left to my laurels, I am perfectly content to sit at home alone, nice and quiet, you know, me and my dog. And I love that. I love the silence at times. So yes, I'm very much an introvert.
Got it. All right. In what way, and if you have something specific, a story, a little memory or whatever, but in what way has GoBundance most impacted your life?
The story I share whenever something like this comes up, my first event was Steamboat 2 years ago. I was still very introverted. I wasn't really comfortable, but I was working on it. And at the end of the last night, there was a small table of guys gathered around, and I recognized the guy who I had seen, you know, I'd seen him on stage. I'd seen him talk as Aaron West. And I said, you know, I need to be around this guy. So I just kind of wandered over to the table, didn't know anybody there, and just broke up some conversations, and they were kicking us out of the room. And Aaron says, hey, there's a bunch of us going up to room such and such, a little masterminding. Whoever wants to come, come along. And I went, didn't know anybody, had a couple of conversations with a few guys. We were in that room until 5 a.m. And the conversations that took place, the depth of the conversations, the vulnerability of the conversations, to me was just like, this is why I joined GoBundance. This is what I was looking for. Because I always felt, I grew up in that generation where you didn't share your feelings. You sure as heck as a guy didn't show any emotion, you know, in a sensitive way. It just wasn't acceptable, or at least borderline wasn't acceptable. It was getting there. You know, the Gen X, it was kind of starting to get there, but it wasn't really there. And I always felt like a misfit. I always felt out of place because I couldn't just say what I really wanted to say. And being in that room and seeing a bunch of strangers, guys I did not know, and hearing them be vulnerable and share and allowing myself to do that, that was hands down by far the biggest individual moment that I've had as far as impact at GoBundance. And I've taken that to many levels of trying to get more people to witness that, you know, is you got to just participate and be vulnerable.
Well, that might parlay into the next question, which you could take it if you want to there, or maybe there's something else you want to say. But if somebody's listening right now that's a new member, or somebody's listening that's been thinking about joining as a member, what advice would you give that person as they navigate membership?
Show up, both physically and on calls. You know, there was a couple months ago, somebody posted on the page that they were struggling with seeing the value in GoBundance.
Yeah.
And somebody asked, it's like, how many events have you been to? None. It's like, you've got to go to events, whether that's a small event, whether that's a regional event, whether that's a big national event. You know, when I joined, I came in at a good time. Chris was CEO at the time, was just doing tons of events. I literally went to every single event. Steamboat was not. I literally went to every single semi-major event that they had over the course of the next 2 years. I'm pretty sure, other than guys who had to be there, you know, like Aaron and Daniel for doing 728 and this, that, I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that's been to all those events. I went to every single one. I was there from opening day to closing day. So I definitely spent more time. And that, I was in the Nomad chapter because I was in East Tennessee. There was nobody else here. Now there's like 7 or 8 of us, which is cool. We actually have a small local chapter now. So yeah, you have to show up. If you can't get to all the events, find closest thing to you. Even if it's only 2 or 3 guys, you've got to go and participate in person. And you absolutely should go to at least one of the bigger events each year if you really want to get a feel for it.
That's great advice, man. The local chapter thing has blown up. I tell the story all the time. It was me and Brent in Michigan until 2 years ago. Now there's 43 guys in Michigan, which is insane to me, right? Like you said, Knoxville, that Eastern Tennessee area. I don't know, but you, I think, were like the guy, like, I don't know of anybody else I could think of in that area. Now there's a healthy group there. But even just, I remember, and I've told the story about the first 6-8 months, I didn't really engage as much as I should as a member until I went in person with my pod to Orlando and we hung out for a weekend. Just guys. And to your point, the vulnerability, what we talked about, the depth to which we went, it was just, I can never explain to anyone the ROI it's incalculable on being able to show up as everything that you are.
Yeah.
With a bunch of other men, that all they want for you is to be whatever it is you want to be, right? They want to be there for you and push and help you and support you in you achieving what you're trying to achieve and be there when your back's against the wall. So that's great advice, man. Looks like you want to add something.
Well, in my pod, my pod all went to Steamboat. We all joined about the same time. One of them had come in a little bit before, but we all joined about 2 years ago, and we all went to Steamboat. So we all got to meet in person for the first time. And we've been trying to plan trips since then. Last year, we were all going to go to South Carolina to go see the band Fish. A couple of the guys are huge Fish fans. Well, one of the guys, the last minute, ended up not being able to make it. So only three of us went. This past weekend, we're in early May. This past weekend, we got back together, the four of us, for the first time again in Atlanta. One of the guys in the pod, Jonathan Spaeth, is an avid skydiver. He has like over 800 jumps. We went to Atlanta to go skydive. We did a indoor skydiving in the tunnel. We were supposed to do the actual skydiving on Saturday. The clouds were looking a little thick, so we reverted and kind of did a fitness day and just kind of hung out. And then one of the guys had to fly back Sunday morning, so he ended up missing out. But Sunday we drove out hoping that the clouds would be clear enough. And Adam and myself, along with Jonathan, got to jump out. So we actually went skydiving. Of course, we're doing tandem. Jonathan's out there by himself. So we're out there falling, free falling, attached to somebody. And Jonathan's like right across from me, like you see in the air, holding hands and stuff. It was pretty wild. So you can't get
first time for you.
It was my second. I jumped once about 10 years ago. And so this was the second time I've done it.
I can't. It's one of those things that I don't think I could see me doing. Never say never, but it's not on my bucket list. Let's put it that way. It's not sitting on my bucket list.
It's on that other list that Trav talks about.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. It's funny. There's a guy in my pod, to your point, we've been together 4+ years, who just was, he's going to be playing like 7 shows as the bassist for Collective Soul.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing, right? I'm talking about bucket list. Like he had he was in a band years and years ago, and now he's, a big time realtor. He's got his kids and everything. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to take this opportunity. And we're like, dude, when are the shows? Like all of us are going to at least one of those shows, if not touring with them on 2 or 3 of them.
Absolutely.
Because that's what happens. Right? You support each other in that way.
Yeah, that was a band that came up. They were kind of my generation. They were a band that came up as I was just getting out of high school. They were guys pretty close to my age. So yeah, that's pretty cool.
I texted him back like, dude, whatever you want, man. I'll walk upon high. I'll step to the edge to see the world below. I just wanted all these Collective Soul lyrics. But all right, let's do where is it? We're going to do the final question from the Gobundance card game. The question, Two of Diamonds, in 40 years, what would that be? 2063.
Whew.
40 years, what will people be nostalgic for?
Well, 40 years, what will they be nostalgic for? Driving.
Oh, yeah.
Car on wheels.
That's a good one. Right? Okay. What do you mean on wheels? You don't think we'll be on, you think we'll be hovering?
I guess one of two things. Either we'll be floating everywhere. They'll be hover cars. I don't know, maybe 40 years. I think it's enough time for that. Or it'll be like Mad Max and they'll all be big tired and everybody will be killing each other or something along those lines. So I think driving a 4-door sedan or a pickup truck just to the grocery store, I think just normal running, driving to run errands, I think will go away. Everything will just be at your beck and call.
That's a good one, man. That's off the cuff too. I never give people this question in advance. So that's off the cuff. That's pretty good. I like that.
I need to get that card game. Is that an official card game?
It's in the old app. I'm sure there's physical copies of it somewhere. If I ever lose this app, I lose the card game and I lose this gimmick.
I love it.
We'll see. I have another card game called Changes that I could use, but it's less fun. It's more deep. So I don't know. We'll see. I could do something else if I ever need to. I got backup.
That first night at the hotel in Steamboat, we were kind of doing stuff like that. And I asked Darren, I was like, where do you get these questions from? And he's like, I just made them up. But I've had some other guys that have brought up. So I'll do that at lunch or something. I'll throw out a tough question for guys. Let's go around the table and just, let's get things to open up, get people to share something.
One I like to use is what has to happen this year for it to be your best year ever? Interesting. What does have to happen this year? And it just starts making you like layer down your thoughts. But
I like hitting into the past stuff, like Pasha out of LA. He was he came up with a couple of good ones that I've tagged onto. It's scariest moment of your life, because the stories that can come out of that. The other one I like to use is give me a butterfly moment in your life. That moment that at the time seemed very, very small, but in hindsight, you realize was such a catalyst for something so much bigger.
Oh, wow. Good ones, man. Oh, leaving value for everybody. This is awesome. All right, let's do two things. One, if you're a GoBundance member and you have interest in the genuine contribution panel, what should they do?
Email me, Derek at Derek Tellier. It's my name. It's pretty easy. Derek at DerekTellier.com. Shoot me an email. It's on the Facebook page. It's in the newsletters. There's a link, and I can give you the link, the Calendly link, where you can just schedule some time with me to have that conversation. Or you can just schedule a call if you just want to talk. But yeah, Derek at DerekTellier.com.
Got it. And for anybody that's listening that's not in GoBundance, that just wants to learn more about you, follow you, all of that stuff, you have a social media handle. Where can people do that?
I'm on social media. Facebook is probably where I'm most active. If you just Google my name, Derek Tellier, there's only one other Derek Tellier I'm aware of, and he's bald and a professor in Minnesota. So I don't think you can mix us up. He looks a lot more like you than he does like me. I don't think you can mix us up. So I'm really not hard to find from that aspect of things. I have an Instagram account. I have a Twitter account. I'm never on them. I'm not on TikTok. I probably should be, or I shouldn't be. I don't know. So yeah, Facebook is the easiest thing, but really email. I'm a zero inbox guy. You and I had this conversation on Facebook recently. I'm a zero inbox guy. I would have so much anxiety if I had all those unread messages.
I'm not. What am I up to? Hold on. I could tell you. I am up to, it doesn't tell me on here. I'll tell you on here. Give me 2 seconds. I'm up to 4,000. unread emails in my inbox and texts. I've got 270. I'm down to 270. Look at that. I've made headway.
Zero unread text. If it's an unread text, that means I need to respond to it. And if it's more than two or three deep, I'm not even going to know it's there. So
I feel like there's a point of no return on those. Yeah. Like once you reach a certain break point, you just say, fuck it.
You're done.
I'm done. I'm not even going to try anymore. So I do my best, but
my voicemail message tells you to email me.
Oh, wow. Smart.
And Matt King recently tried to call me. He got my voicemail. He emailed me and he's like, I love that you have that on your voicemail. Yeah. And I responded like that. I didn't answer the phone when he called, but I responded to the email instantly almost.
I love it. Derek, man, always a pleasure. Appreciate you doing this. And I'll see you at the next one, I'm sure.
We got to get together soon.
Yeah. Appreciate you, brother.